Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome in to Josh and Swain. Thank you for being with us today. We are very excited to be with you. Beautiful day here in East Tennessee. Swain, you can continue to feel that shift. It was crisp, a little chilly this morning when I got up.
I feel good, man. It was a great day to go outside and do some lawn work in the backyard with no shirt on, man. That was me
Is that right?
That was me this morning. Good thing I have a gate surrounding my backyard so no one was able to see. But yeah, man, shirtless in the backyard today. It felt good this morning.
So a lot of people call this fall. I call this winter mornings, fall during the day.
No, it's perfect this morning.
Anything below 50 is winter.
It was 48, but it was a warm 48, because there is a difference sometimes.
There can be.
The number doesn't tell the entire story. Like, 48 without the sun is different than 48 with the sun. I don't know how, but it's different.
No, I agree. I agree there.
So it felt great this morning.
Fans, though, I think still feel really good waking up. Now, a few days removed from Tennessee's win over Florida, we will continue to discuss. We'll talk about where Tennessee's team and program are today. We'll talk to Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel coming up at 12:30, covering Tennessee, covering Tim Banks, Tennessee's defense coordinator, yesterday speaking at the Knoxville Quarterback Club. In an hour, we'll talk to one of your former teammates, one of the many VFLs who was on campus on Saturday. That's Ramon Foster, former Tennessee offensive lineman, NFL offensive lineman, now on the radio each day in Nashville. He'll join us to begin the 1 o'clock hour. Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports in the final hour of today's show. With today's show at Land Rover Knoxville, we are here on Parkside Drive and will be until 3 o'clock. How about this defender to our left? That is nice.
Sweet, man. Sweet. It's your fault that the car that was here last week is not here.
That's on me?
Yeah, it's your fault, man. He was talking about it too much. And it sold that day.
Way too much. We will be much more quiet about the rides in the showroom here today.
Beautiful.
But you can come by and check it out for yourself.
Yeah, great defender, man. Matte, dark gray, black chrome wheels, tinted black windows. Whew. That thing is sweet, too.
You know, there's a lot of, when it comes to helmet talk, there's a lot of chrome talk, right? I like the matte look better.
Yeah,
it looks right here on this defender right here.
I like that a lot. Shh. Don't talk about the great defender too much. Matte, gray defender, black chrome wheels. Well, black wheels, not chrome, but, and then the black tinted windows. Sweet.
Swain's hitting me with the to begin today's show.
Awesome Price style.
Here we are. Here we are. Until 3 o'clock, we had Awesome Price on yesterday's show, by the way, if you want to go back and check that out in the podcast section or on our YouTube channel. Thanks for being with us if you are there, wherever you might be checking out Josh and Swain today. Shout out to Luke. He gave everybody a heads up 10 minutes ago and said, stop what you're doing. Josh and Swain is about to come on. So thanks for letting everybody know, Luke. We appreciate you being with us here today as we are kind of in that transition time. But, man, the hype continues to be there. I checked out Chris Lowe's story earlier today. Thought it was really good with all the different perspective from former players at Tennessee, fans who have been coming to games for a long time who needed this past weekend, and then obviously the current players, coaches who needed it on Saturday as well. And now there's the time to take a break. Part of that conversation with Austin yesterday was about Cedric Tillman. We don't know. I would say questionable would be the proper description, a little more than a week and a half out from the LSU game for Tennessee star wide receiver. But Hendon Hooker could use a bit of a break physically. The team could. And 2 weeks to try to get some things fixed, because that can be part of the conversation too. Defensively working on things against an LSU team that's talented at wide receiver, and they're going to try to, I'm sure, throw the ball against Tennessee's defense, no doubt.
Yeah, Tennessee defensive backs in particular have to get better, simple as that. And LSU's receivers are better than Florida's receivers. I don't think LSU's quarterback is as good as Florida's quarterback. Anthony Richardson had his best day of the season on Saturday against Tennessee. One thing that the defense as a whole can do to help our secondary is, man, create more pressure, get to the quarterback. That'll make it a whole lot easier. But LSU has an NFL type of receiver. Tennessee has one in Tillman, but Tillman's not playing. Kayshawn Boutte is one of the best receivers in the country. He did not play like it in the first game of the season against Florida State, but he is something. He is special. And so you better make sure you're ready for him. One thing to note about Cedric Tillman, Josh, Tillman hurt his left ankle. Tillman lines up on the right side of the formation most of the time. This is important to know because when he is running curl routes, usually planting on the outside foot, in this case, it's going to be his right foot, which is the healthy foot. So when he comes back, and it won't be right now, but when he comes back, he should be able to still plant and cut off that right foot if he's going to be on the right side of the line of scrimmage most of the time. It's going to be about pain tolerance for him. It's going to be about, all right, what can happen long term if he comes back and hurt it more, because his future is more important than this season. Many people may not want to hear that, but it's true. Tillman has opportunity to take care of himself and his family and his family's family and his kids' kids and kids' kids' kids for a very, very long time. And that's the bigger picture here. So you want to certainly take care of him and do what's best for him. But at the same time, I know he wants to be out there and play for his brothers and win for the University of Tennessee. Just got to be smart about it.
Well, you also have more than half of the season remaining. So there's a long way to go. Not to say that the LSU game is not important. It's very important. But we're coming off a game where Tillman didn't play, and we saw Ramel Keaton step up, and we saw other guys make plays like Brew and Jalen Hyatt. And, you know, mm-hmm. the tight ends continue to be involved. Mm-hmm. There are options. We'll see if Squirrel White gets involved in the passing game. But the offense led by Hendon Hooker, not to take away from Tillman's ability, but has other options that we know can make plays in this offense too.
That's the good thing about Saturday is you won – by your offense, and your offense was powered by Hendon Hooker, of course, but it was the great play of the wide receiver stepping up when Tillman was not out there. And so you should feel confident about going on the road and doing it again versus LSU, an LSU football team that's not as good as Florida. And that allows for Hendon to have another week of rest, because the showdown is staring us right in the face, and that is between Tennessee and Alabama, which if you beat LSU, that's going to be a potential top five matchup. So you can beat LSU without Hendon, but it's going to take for the defense to play better. It's going to take for our receivers to play the way they played, Jabari Small and Wright to run like madmen like they did. They did a really good job. And special teams has to be clean, and you can't lose in special teams again. Here's another week where you lost in special teams. You can't have that happen. So the procedure is supposed to get Hendon his number one target back as quick as possible. Hopefully it plays out that way. But in the meantime, you got work to do. It is Tuesday. So for the fans, we can continue to talk about the Florida game and talk about being number eight in the country. Mm-hmm. But for these players, it's Tuesday. They've already kind of turned the page and, you know, gotten themselves ready for LSU and worry about themselves. I mean, one thing – about bye weeks, you go back to the fundamentals. It's not necessarily about LSU as it is about Tennessee this week. And then at the end of the week, next week, it's about LSU. So bye weeks are a great time for rest, but it's also a great time for, you know, a mental reset. It's a great time to kind of self-scout and kind of see what kind of tendencies that you have developed, so that way you can break some. So that way the future opponents don't get a beat on you.
LSU plays at Auburn this week. At Auburn, I don't know if they're talking about the LSU game more, or do we need to get into the Deion sweepstakes more? That seems to be the conversation coming out of the Plains. Auburn got the win against Missouri, but I don't think any Auburn fan considers this past weekend a win.
Well, they striping the stadium, Josh. Whew, man, I bet they're really fired up. And big old game down there on the Plains, man. The LSU, they're going to stripe the stadium and show LSU who the real Tigers are.
Shouldn't they be trying to get up for this week? Like, isn't it sad that we're 4 weeks into the season, and not to speak for all Auburn fans, but enough are ready to just move on to whatever the next era is when they have the rest of the season to go? They only have one loss.
They got skull drugged by Penn State, Josh.
I know what happened.
And barely beat Missouri.
I know what
happened. Who is maybe on Vandy's level at this point. A Mizzou program that had the star receiver, freshman, five-star player that was in-state, scrub all his social media off.
About that one yesterday.
And don't want anything to do with Missouri right now. I mean, Auburn fans are smart. They know what's around the corner, and that is a new head coach. They know Brian Harsin is not going to do anything there at Auburn. It's a wrap. So they're looking towards the future. And if you're Georgia Tech, if you're Auburn, you should be looking at Deion Sanders. You got to find somebody that can be different to compete in the SEC, because going out and getting the Brian Harsins and the Gene Chizik, even though Gene Chizik won national championship, but going out and getting the same old, it's not going to work. You got to be different. Tennessee was different. They went out and got Josh Heupel, someone that ran an offense that was unlike anyone else in the country. And Auburn said, hey, man, we did it with Gus Malzahn. We was different. And it helped us win. We need to do the same thing and maybe go get Deion Sanders. I wouldn't be surprised either if I'm an Auburn fan. And I got a lot of Auburn fan friends. They're not excited.
Is Auburn your second team? Is that right?
No, I got a lot of friends who are Auburn okay. fans. I have one team.
Okay.
The rest of them go to hell.
That team is Tennessee. All right, we are off and running here on Josh and Swain today. Thank you for being with us. You can be a part of the show calling, texting at 865-656-9900. Tennessee back in the top 10. What does that say about Tennessee's program being back on its way?
Oh, boy.
Back. Conversation's Woo. Back, I'll tell you that much. We'll come back on Josh and Swain at Land Rover Knoxville today on Parkside Drive on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us today at Land Rover Knoxville on Parkside Drive. Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel covering Tennessee coming up at 12:30. He's covering a top 10 Tennessee football team, Ooh. Swain. Number 8 in the country in the Associated Press poll.
I think you should say top 8.
Top 8?
I think that sounds better than top 10.
We have the Coaches Bowl where Tennessee's number 9. We're excluding that one from the conversation.
Yeah, I don't care about the Coaches Bowl. You know, they don't really.
The SID poll?
Yeah, they don't really pay attention, man. It's just like the whole conversation with the recruiting. 247, you got On3, you got Rivals, you got ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Let's take Nico Yalamali out of 4, example. Whatever service has him the highest, that's the one we go with. That's our favorite.
Okay.
So whatever poll has Tennessee the highest, that's the one we're going with. So if it was a coaches poll that had Tennessee number 5, I would say the coaches poll is the best poll in America. And we should go by the coaches poll.
Let me do a quick search here.
What you got?
Number 8 there as well. FPI. I'll see if I can pull that one up. If FPI has Tennessee at number 7, would we say top 7 team?
Yeah, we'll say top 7. FPI, the best poll to pay attention to right now.
I can't find it. So live internet searching on the radio and yeah. live streams is good.
Top 7. Where are we at?
I think that's old. It says 12. That can't be right.
So we're top 8. We're top, okay. top 8 football team.
All right. So a top 8 team in the country.
Yeah.
So Tennessee football is back.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get out in front of this. Because I've seen this conversation be drummed up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's important to define what does that truly mean. Like, what is your definition of being back? When Tennessee was at a place where you were proud of, what was that place? And use the text box, please. Use the text box. Text the show.
865-656-9900.
For me, it's competing for championships. Competing for championships means that you're back. I remember Texas beat Georgia in, what was that, Sugar Bowl a couple years ago? And Texas was like, we're back. It's like, no. Y'all won one bowl game at the end of the season. You didn't compete for a championship. There was no way you're going to win that championship in that game, in that season. You were not going to win. You're not back yet. If you're a Texas fan, being back means competing for championships. You won it in 05 with Vince Young. When I look at Tennessee, it's competing for championships. Tennessee has only played 4 games this year, Josh. to talk about Tennessee being back feels like it's premature. But ask yourself, is Tennessee competing for a championship at this very moment? Yeah.
Well, yeah. that was going to be one of my follow-ups. Define competing for a championship.
You control your own destiny right now. You're 4-0. You're 1-0 in the SEC. You just beat Florida. You have Kentucky and Georgia that's probably going to be the biggest roadblock for you. Because when I think about competing for championships, the first championship that matters is the one in Atlanta. That's always the first goal. You can't get to the national championship without playing in the SEC championship. So are you competing for a championship right now? Yeah, you are. But I'm still a little hesitant to be like, oh, Tennessee's back after winning, you know, two games against a top 25 opponent. Like, I'm still a little cautious.
Right.
But I remember being in this position in 2004, and I would say, yeah, we competing for a championship right now. We just knocked off Florida. Now we have to go beat Georgia, and we are truly in the driver's seat to Atlanta. But I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, it feels like 98 or anything. But Tennessee is in a place that we have not been in a very long time, probably since 2016, where you beat Florida, you beat Georgia, and you were controlling your own destiny to go compete for a championship. Tennessee's in that same position right now.
So I agree with most of that. My one holdup would be, let's say Tennessee goes 3-1 this month. Okay, so that means...
What's the one?
You can pick.
What's the... Alabama? You lose to Alabama?
Realistically, that's most likely, right?
Okay.
So you're 7-1 at the end of the month. You're still probably in the top 10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you go into the Georgia game, and we're talking about, hey, this is for the East. And Georgia wins by 24 points. You just competed for the East, meaning you're competing for the SEC, and you got trucked. Is Tennessee back?
No. You officially have stopped the I'm back tour at that
right.
moment.
Right.
But currently, are you on the road to being back? And that means competing for championship, competing for SEC East championship, going to Atlanta. Like, yeah, we're on our way right now.
Yep.
But it is going to take that win against Georgia, Josh. It doesn't really matter what happened against Alabama, honestly, because, like, you can lose by 100, you can win by 100.
Mm-hmm.
If you beat Georgia, you take care of business against Kentucky, you're going to see Alabama again.
Yep.
You just can't lose to them the second time. That's what it's about. So that Georgia-Kentucky game, I think, is really going to determine if Tennessee is truly, truly back. Back competing for conference championships. We have put ourselves in position, but that game is going to really tell the story.
Yeah, I think Tennessee's on the road back. I think Tennessee is they've been on a long vacation.
Long vacation. Long vacation.
You got that road trip home. It's an 8-hour, 10-hour, might be a 12-hour drive from that vacation. And you can start to feel, hey, we're getting close to home. You still got a little ways to go. I think a couple of things that Tennessee can do, accomplishments, even if they don't win the East, win the SEC. If Tennessee can be a top 10 team, competing very closely or certainly beating a top 10 team, you know, we have to go back to you playing for Tennessee to get a top 10 win.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And
a while.
When you played, it was a big deal, but it wasn't that big of a deal to beat a top 10 team because that was expected along the way to what you were trying to accomplish, right?
No, correct.
So if you can do that, I think Tennessee needs to do some things that you used to expect of yourselves when you were playing. When Tennessee was there, Tennessee had been a few years since, like your senior year was 06, it had been 8 years since a title. But played for the SEC title in 2001, played for it in 2004, was about 2 and 2007.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the mix just about every year.
Yeah.
I know
yeah,
there are
yeah.
a couple drop-offs.
Yeah.
Tennessee's trying to get back.
Yeah. On the way.
Tennessee is on the way back. Tennessee's not back, but Tennessee is on the way to being where it wants to.
Couple exits
yeah.
down.
You got a couple stops to make.
Yeah.
You got to fill up that tank.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're light years away like it was.
Yeah.
Or it felt like it was, you know, last year or definitely the year before.
You're not
that.
Sitting at some airport right now with
you,
another canceled flight wondering, when am I getting home?
You on the way. Got to handle business. Georgia, Kentucky, put yourself in position to be in Atlanta. Then we can be like, oh, yeah, Tennessee's back. Because the moment that USC wins a little bit. Yep. Miami wins a little bit. Nebraska wins a little bit. Texas wins a little bit. National media, social media can't wait to say, we bet.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, yep. whoa.
Yeah, Tennessee fans, you're sitting outside the forest when you see those programs do it, and you probably roll your eyes at what they say, and you say, I got to see a little bit more from you. I think that's being said about Tennessee on the outside as well. But people recognize what the offense is doing, what Hendon Hooker is doing, how they're recruiting really well, and they see that path. You just have a few more check marks on the box. We'll come back here on Josh and Swain, and we invite your interaction, 865-656-9900, to be a part of the show where you see Tennessee right now, where you see Tennessee going. And we'll ask the same of Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel when we come back here on Josh and Swain at Land Rover Knoxville on Parkside Drive on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Welcome back in. Thanks for being with us here on Josh and Swain on this Tuesday afternoon as we continue on Parkside Drive at Land Rover Knoxville. And we are excited to go to the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline here to begin this segment. Saying hello to Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel covering Tennessee football. Adam, we appreciate the time as always. We're a few days removed now, but how would you describe the scene, the environment at Neyland Stadium in the game that you covered the other day with the Vols getting the win against Florida?
Well, I mean, it lived up to expectations, obviously, with the checkered Neyland and the atmosphere and all those sort of things. I thought a very telling moment of where the series has been was with really in the last minute. I was still sitting in the press box, and, Florida scores that last touchdown. I looked over to Eric Kane, and I said, Felipe Franks is warming up. You know, because you had that feel, right, that this could go wrong again. And the fact that Tennessee finished off that game was, I think, psychologically just a step that the fan base needed, but I think even more so just the program needed. They were not going to take the next step unless they won this game. You could finish the year 8-4 or 9-3 or whatever. If there was a loss to Florida, there was going to be an asterisk on the season, I think.
So now there's the what's next conversation. Tennessee's 4-0. They have 2 weeks to get ready for LSU. I'm sure what a lot of people are talking about in terms of getting ready and getting some things changed would be on the defensive side. What stood out to you and what you heard asked of Tim Banks and then what you heard from Tennessee's defensive coordinator as he was speaking on Monday?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough day for him to come in, right? I thought he did good in answering what were some – I mean, I give the quarterback club members credit. They asked some pretty candid questions. He answered them as best he could. He understands there's issues in the pass defense, and I do think we need to pinpoint it there. The defense is not bad. The pass defense is bad. Stopping the run has been fine. Pass rush needs to be better, but it's not terrible. I mean – for the plays that Tennessee did make in pass defense, particularly Haddon's interception at the end of the game, that was because of pressure brought from the front seven. So there are a few good things there on defense. I think, at this point, I think Tennessee fans are going to have to sort of accept that this is the team that they're – this is the style that they're going to have to deal with Tennessee under Josh Heupel. You're going to score a lot. You're going to give up a lot. You can make incremental steps forward, but defense is never going to be great. The amount of stress that you put on that defense in terms of time of possession is just unlike any other defense in the country has to deal with. I'll probably write more about this later in the week for Knox News, but Tennessee was top 10 offense last year and had the lowest time of possession in the country. This year, they're number one in total offense in the country. They're bottom 10 in time of possession. That's just no other team has to deal with that big of a gap. So you're doing the most in the least amount of time on offense, but that means you're putting your defense out there just over and over and over. Tennessee's defense gave up a touchdown. The first touchdown they gave up the other day against Florida, they have to go to the sideline, sort of lick their wounds, try to fix some things, and their offense was on the field for three plays for like 50 seconds. And, hey, guys, I know you just sat down. Get back up and get out there. And I do think we have to always add that context any time we criticize the defense.
My thing is, I don't know what the people expect. What that good?
So he got a little bit better. So he was going to go from last year's defense to, you know, the 85 Bears defense in year one, or year one to year two. There was going to be a little bit of improvement, but it wasn't going to be significant. And then you added exactly what this defense has to deal with, and that is the time of being on the football field and not a lot of time to rest. But I feel like the defense at the beginning of the game did their part for Tennessee's offense to get up to a 14-0 lead.
Yeah, and I mean, there's, you know, LSU looks at that film. They know what they need to do. They have a mobile quarterback if he is available. They're going to try to throw it. They're going to try to stretch that defense even more. I do think one difference between Florida and LSU is that LSU's got better receivers. They have more athletes on the outside. So that'll be it'll be a similar challenge, but a little more difficult. Being on the road will be a little more. But, you know, a lot of what I hear from fans this week is critiques about the defense and what went wrong and what was otherwise a huge win. And the way that I interpret that is fans sort of sense that the door is open to so much more now. You know, you get this sometimes with Alabama fans where they say, hey, I know we just won, but that red zone defense wasn't enough. Hey, we won, but special teams is not good enough to beat Georgia or to win a national title. And you start nitpicking things because you know what's ahead. And I think Tennessee fans suddenly sense that, you know, this could be a year where you get to 10-2, where you challenge Georgia maybe. Maybe you have a run at Alabama. And what could keep you from doing that? Well, it's your pass defense. And so I think it's a healthy side to the reaction of this game.
Adam Sparks is with us, Knox News, covering Tennessee football. And you know, we've talked about the is Tennessee back conversation and what you're talking about, what fans are discussing after a huge win against Florida. You know, part of it is, maybe this is cliche, but that's what comes with being in a big-time program. The good thing is that Josh Heupel recognizes that, right? He played at Oklahoma, where Oklahoma fans probably – have similar feelings about what they expect of a program on a year-in, year-out basis, similar to Tennessee fans.
Yeah, and the back conversation, I think it's in different eras, in different years, you can judge that. I mean, I don't think Tennessee is back yet. The possibility is there. The opportunity is there. They have the kind of start that you could say that they're quote-unquote back. But what that would mean, I mean, you know, if they were 9-3 this year and they go to the Citrus Bowl, that's not back, but that's in the conversation. If you're 10-2 and you're competitive against Georgia and Alabama, I think that's back because that is in the conversation. I mean, another way we need to look at this is if Tennessee was 10-2 and was competitive against Georgia and Alabama a couple of years from now, you're in the playoff. You're in the 12-team expanded playoff. Are you back if you're in the college football playoff? Of course you are. And so I think we need to always look at that within context of what we mean back is. You know, some years back means Tennessee runs the table and, you know, they're the BCS title winner. Other years that can mean that you're in the tournament. And, you know, if you're competing to win the SEC, which means being close to Alabama and Georgia, you're certainly back. I don't think they're there, but I think they're one step away from it.
Adam, what is one thing that you notice on Saturday, maybe is before, during, or after the game that you haven't had a chance to write about or talk about that really stood out to you?
Well, I mean, the question of if this is a successful system offensively or if it's more reliant on individual players, I think that's been answered a little more. Cedric Tillman's a phenomenal receiver, and they're certainly better with him out there. But when Ramel Keaton goes out and does what he does, I think it sort of lowers the temperature and the stress level when you lose guys. You know, they lost two of their three receivers from last year. I would argue they look even better offensively in the past game now than they did last year in replacing those guys. You lose Tillman and you plug in Keaton and the pass game was fine. So I think that just tells me that they can lose guys, skill guys in this offense, and it still keep going. That doesn't disparage Cedric Tillman in any way, but I think it gives you hope for what they can do through the course of the season if they have some depth issues.
Good write-up from Adam Sparks on what Tim Banks had to say, speaking to the Knoxville Quarterback Club on Monday. More coverage, as you heard from him, coming up this week, knoxnews.com, on Twitter, at Adam Sparks. Hey, Adam, thanks for the time. We appreciate it as always and hope to talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Good to be on.
Adam Sparks covering Tennessee football. So that conversation, we've had some good messages come in. Swain, we'll get to the listeners when we come back. YouTube chat as well, if you want to shoot us a message there. What does it look like to you? Where Tennessee is? Tennessee on the road back in the SEC? We'll come back and discuss here on Josh and Swain today at Land Rover Knoxville. Busy show ahead. The faceoff coming up. Ramon Foster at the start of the 1 o'clock hour right here on Josh and Swain on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us. Great to be here at Land Rover Knoxville on Parkside Drive. We'll get to some of your messages. What do you think in the Tennessee being back? And it can be a layered conversation as well. We have the conversation here at Land Rover Knoxville, Parkside Drive, online, landroverknoxville.com. Discovery Sport to our right, beautiful Defender to our left. If you come into the showroom where we are today, you can watch on the Sports Animal YouTube channel and check out what's going on here. Come on down yourself. We'll talk some Tennessee football here with you today at Land Rover Knoxville. And they'll help you find what you're looking for on the lot down here as well. Set up until 3 on Josh and Swain. We had multiple messages, Swain, in that Is Tennessee Back conversation. Want to hear a fan reaction. One pointing to what Josh Heupel said, Rocky Top is back, the atmosphere at Neyland Stadium. And it was multiple weeks, right? The atmosphere for Akron was great. Not Florida, but who would expect it to be better than I expected. So the atmosphere on Rocky Top is back with the conversation about Tennessee coming back.
That's what you meant?
That's what the person is saying.
Was Rocky Top back last year against Ole Miss?
Rocky Top.
See what happened was. Right. Because honestly, Ole Miss atmosphere was probably more alive than Saturday's.
Oh,
it was louder last year against Ole Miss.
Lively is for sure part of the description.
It was louder.
Yeah.
Against Ole Miss last year. So, was Rocky Top back last year?
By the way, Josh Heupel's statement during the CBS interview, Rocky Top being back, I think that was a message to recruits. Very specific.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yep.
I love the message.
Yep.
I'm just being difficult here.
No, ABR, always be recruiting.
Always.
Or ABC, always be cruiting.
ABR? Like, what's going on, Josh?
So that's one response. We had another saying, I need to see a whole full season here. We can't have a September is Tennessee back conversation because that conversation's probably happened too many times. And I think you're going to agree there.
The reason why I brought it up is because you're starting to see it.
Yeah.
Here and there. So let's go ahead and talk about it now and get out in front of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Differing opinions on the defense coming in as well, which is not going to surprise you.
The defense was great against Pittsburgh. No one was saying that the defense is the strength of this football team. No one was freaking out about the offense like they are today freaking out about the defense. The defense had a game that I'm sure they don't necessarily want to duplicate in the future. But I don't remember this type of energy spent after the Pitt game on the offense.
Yeah.
It was one game. Now, do I think the offense is better than defense? Absolutely, I think that. But we knew this defense was going to struggle last year with personnel. And look what Tim Banks did with the defense last year. You think Tim Banks forgot how to coordinate? He went from being a position coach to last year being a DC for the first time. So you think he's going to go backwards in year two with him getting more talent and his players having more of an understanding of what to do? No, this is what Tim Banks is not going to do at the quarterback club. What he's not going to do is throw his players under the bus. But honestly, he needs better players. Sorry to hurt people's feelings, but he needs better players. He needs faster DBs. He needs more pass rushers. He needs better players. Simple as that. So we can sit here and point the finger, Tim Banks, but it's really, he needs better players. As simple as that. The coaches are not going to say it. I'll say it. Because the coaches are not going to throw their own players under the bus. But I'm not going to sit here and allow for a narrative to be created that's just really not true. Tim Banks is doing a heck of a job. Tim Banks did a heck of a job last year.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.